is. So what I'd like to talk about some recent work I've done with Alexei Kitaev and also some other people here at Key Station, Adrian Feigen, Simon Trebs, and also Idio Don. And so the model, I think, was proposed originally by Michael Friedman and I think Matthias Troyer, but that was before I got involved. And I should just say right at the beginning that people are familiar with statistical mechanics models, integrable statistical mechanics models 20 years ago, the RSOS model, Andrews Baxter Forster models, and the Pasquier models, and so on, will probably not learn a whole lot from what I have to say. I apologize for this. So, what is a model I want to look at? So, let's imagine we have some state, some topological quantum state in 2D, so we can imagine, for example, SU2 level 3, the bosonic Reed-Rezai state, as an example. And it should support an excitation, which we call tau, let's say, which has a fusion rule that tau tau goes into tau plus 1. And then we imagine we're putting an array of holes in a sample along the x direction and put these tau particles in these holes. And so we are going to ask, what is going to happen here? We should compare this, I guess, with a simpler state, simpler problem, where, let's say, the topological state is in the px plus ipy superconductor, let's say, the weak pairing state, and we put, similarly, an array of holes in there, and put the sigma particle in there, which has a fusion rule, that is sigma sigma is 1 plus the fermion. And in this situation, I guess we know what happens. What will happen, since the quasi-particles will be close to each other, and on each location, in each hole, there will be a Majorana zero mode. The Majorana zero modes will start hybridizing and will form a, along the x direction, a one-dimensional critical system, which will be an Ising model, right? And so we asked the question, well, if we have a more complicated system, what is going to happen here? And so let me then start writing down a Hamiltonian and a Hilbert space for this problem here. So the Hilbert space will look like this. So we can draw it like this. It's a Hilbert space on the fusion path. So tau, tau, tau fuses and in the usual way. So imagine we put an additional phantom site where we have a 1, and 1 fuses into tau. Tau fuses into some A1, A2, A3, and so on. And so each configuration of AIs being either tau or 1, each such array will form an orthonormal a basis state of an orthonormal basis. And so now, how should we look at the, which Hamiltonian should we pick? Now, in this case, what will happen is that the tunneling between two zero modes corresponds. So sigma sigma goes into either 1 or the fermion, and so tunneling corresponds to projection onto the identity in this fusion channel. And so we also assume that, or we look at the model where we have a similar projection of two neighboring, of each pair of neighboring tau particles into the identity as opposed to the tau. So how do we write this down? Well, this Hamiltonian acts locally on each pair of taus, and let's use the F matrix of this theory here, which is, let's use the F matrix to, so F is tau inverse, tau minus 1/2, tau minus 1/2, minus tau inverse, where tau is the golden mean. Unfortunately, some abusive notation. So this rule implies that the quantum dimension of a particle satisfies this equation, which means that the quantum dimension is a golden mean, and we denote that, let's say, with the same with tau as well. And so we use a fusion matrix to define the Hamiltonian. And so let me do that briefly. So if I have a configuration like this, we can recouple this like this, with the F matrix element being 1 here. And so here I project on the identity from the two taus, and that is a state we keep. So a state like this we keep, and a state like this, which we can write by recoupling. One tau goes to tau, and that's a state we drop, because we have projected tau tau into tau and not tau tau into 1. More generally, there would be another state, which is like this, tau tau 1, which similarly we drop. That is, we project it out. The Hamiltonian will project it out, and more generally, there will be configurations tau tau A, where A is either 1 or tau, and we add the projector act on this. Well, first we recouple it using the F matrix, so that gives FAB sum over all B, pi acting on it. So B can be either tau 1 we project onto the 1, B is now 1, and then we rewrite it as F A1 by again using the F matrix, tau C tau, F transpose IC, sum over C. And so this will now be the matrix element of the projector between A and C. And so in general, so we now get pi tau 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 A tau is tau 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 B tau, and there is some matrix So matrix elements of a projector in when it acts on states where the tau, where I have two tau, and I can use for the upper type of states, one, tau, this gives me one. Which I can think of as the matrix element, which is one, where the label tau, which are the exterior labels, are replaced by one. And finally, pi acting on all other states, tau, A, B, C, is zero when A is not equal to C. So that's the definition of the projector. Any questions to this? Is this trivial or going to? Pi is a matrix element of the projector as it acts on the basis state. It's a matrix representation of a projector, right? So I'm just defining how I want my Hamiltonian to look like to realize the fact that I'm projecting all nearest neighbor taus on the identity. Right? And the F matrix can be used to do that. It's just a standard. Is that obvious? And so now, so we see that the projector is realized by a simple 2x2 matrix apart by a 1x1 matrix, which is trivial. And the 2x2 matrix, I can read off here, is basically the square of a row of the F matrix. F transpose is a transpose, of course. And if I calculate, if we go in to calculate that, if we want to see it explicitly, it F. So this 2x2 matrix is FA1, FB1, and if I look what it is, well, it is tau inverse tau minus 1/2 tau minus 1/2 1. Right. Not very important, but that's what it is. All right. And so finally, let's look at it this way. This projector will act locally on one of these states, and by locally we mean there are some labels A I minus 1, AI plus 1, where all the A's are either 1 or tau, one of two labels. And so as it acts, it gives me a sum over, again, such things, tau, and I get AI minus 1, I plus 1, these are the same. And the middle can change, and there's this matrix, A I primed, and it has an index. That index was this index, whether the external particle are either tau or 1. In one case, it's a 1x1 and 2x2 matrix. And there's some delta function. So that's just summarizing these equations. And the A primed are summed over 1 and tau. So, and that's what we call pi I. It acts on the pi element, if you want, right, locally. And so, so we can draw this differently if we want. Let me draw this differently like this. We can look at a matrix element of pi I hand, we want to write it, we can represent it like this, and it will be useful to think of it that way. So here we draw the labels on the matrix, and here we draw the projector, and here we indicate which particle it is. So this is just another way of writing this equation, obviously. And this matrix element is exactly, the matrix representation. And so we can now, we multiply these matrices, we stack these pictures, just as familiar from the temporal Lie algebra, people familiar with that. And so now we're ready to say what the Hamiltonian is. So we want the Hamiltonian acting on such basis elements which describe the quantum state of a system, and it should project onto, so it should give an energy zero to all states which are projected where tau gives into the identity, and all other state acquire high energy, energy one. So that's what the Hamiltonian should be. And so it turns out that if we relabel the axis, the pi's slightly differently, so where tau is now the golden mean, then one can check that this satisfy the temporally Lie algebra, which reads so it's possible, not complicated, to check that it's the case, but it's not convenient to do it in this representation. It's better to wait a little. We get a better representation where it's easier to check. In fact, this representation for temporally Lie algebra, which underlies this Hamiltonian, can be cast in a better, in a form that is better known, and there's a simple one-to-one map onto a well-known representation of the temporally Lie algebra. And for that purpose, let's specifically consider SU2 level 3 as the topological field theory and use labels which are angular momenta, which are cut off at 3 over 2, and previously we used the notation where we had 1 and tau, and now these are labeled by 1 for the identity spin 0 and tau for spin 1, and they satisfy, it's well known, they satisfy these fusion rules, and we use the fact that that fusion with j equals 3/2 is just a relabeling. So if we have these labels here and we draw labels j fused with 3/2, we get 0 going into 3/2, 1/2 going to 1, 1 into 1/2, and 3/2 going into 0. And so it's now easy to rewrite this projector in a different basis by just doing a relabeling. And for that relabeling, we say that tau, which is now called spin 1, can be represented as 3/2 fused with 1/2. So 3/2 has a abelian statistics. It's a trivial particle. Every time I fuse anything with 3/2, I get just another one and not a sum. Right?
All right.
So now it's probably enough to draw this picture. So it's the same picture as above, just that I'm writing non-vanishing matrix elements. So these always have to be the same, otherwise the matrix element vanishes, as we see explicit representation. And here, tau is on these links, so we call it now 1. Oops. And so the idea is to use this formula saying that 1 is the same as 1/2 fused with 3/2. And so we can turn this picture. To that picture. Where I have again AI primed, AI A plus 1. And what we can do now is we can use F moves to move the lines going, okay, we can move the lines over there. Let me just draw the result. It will be obvious when it's drawn, once it's drawn. And so we have a 1/2 here, and we have AI minus 1, AI plus 1. But now we have A primed hat, where A primed hat is the same as A primed I had before, except that it's fused with 3/2. And so to get that, so we have some 3/2 left. So we have moved this over here. Is that, should I explain this? How this works? So we have used the F move to put it over here, but then the 3/2 particle goes into these states at the edge and turns an AI into AI hat, just fuses with them. So it's a simple thing, and we can move, we can draw the loop out, and that's a 3/2 going around in a loop. It's an abelian particle, gives just a number. So the upshot of this is that the matrix elements of the original projector are the same matrix elements up to a number of a projector that projects two 1/2 particles, not two 1 particles on the identity. And that is a well-known representation of the temporally Lieb algebra. And let me write that down. So if we take pi twiddle defined, whose matrix elements are defined in this fashion, and multiplied by d, where in the case we're looking at, D is the golden mean, and define E, then the matrix elements of this E, which is just a multiple of this pi twiddle, were just the same problem as before, except that not the one particle, but the one half particle is projected onto the identity. Then, and now we label these states where all j's are 0, 1, half, 1, or 3, cut off angular momenta. And so this is a well-known representation. And let me write it. Where S, J, J prime is root 2k plus 2 sine pi 2j plus 1, 2j prime plus 1 divided by k plus 2. And people are familiar with this. These are the elements of the modulus S matrix corresponding to SU2 level 3. So the projector onto the identity in such a chain as before, except that all tau particles are replaced by 1 half, which is an isomorphic representation, is just a well-known representation of the temporally Lie algebra. And so one can check that these EIs satisfy these rules. And so our Hamiltonian is a sum of these EIs. XI, yeah. So Hamiltonian is now tau 1 minus 1 over tau EI I in this representation. All right. So that's just a simple rewriting or relabeling of the projector. But now, we know, we recognize that this is the Hamiltonian of a simple stet, of a known a stet mech model. Of a 2D classical integrable stet mech model, and it is a lattice regularization of the tricritical Ising model, which has a central charge 7, 10. So it's just, if I have a model on a lattice in 2D, it's the x, here's the y direction, I can construct a transfer matrix, let's say, in the y direction. And, for example, I can get a Hamiltonian if I make the lattice spacing in the y direction much smaller than the lattice spacing in the x direction, take a strongly anisotropic limit. And if I take this lattice regularization of the Ising, trigonal Ising model, I look what we get exactly this Hamiltonian. So what I can do, I can spend 5 minutes explaining this lattice model, or I can stop. Because I'm close to. All right. So, but the lattice model So this lattice model, these kind of lattice models were derived a long time ago in 84 by Andrews, Baxter, and Forrester, and as integrable models, and they realize for each member of the minimal series of minimal models, of a series of minimal models, there is such a lattice model whose critical point realizes exactly one of the conformal models. And so these have also been discussed at great length by Vincent Pasquier about 20 years ago. So the model is simple. Let's write it. Let's write it in the same variables. All right. So here I have, so here's some spins sitting here, the same type of spins I had over here. J is 0, 1 half, 1 3 half, and it's Ji at each side of a lattice. So I want to look at this as a one-dimensional chain of lattice sites. Let's say here there is J 2n, so I is either 2n or 2n plus 1, even or odd. And here's another spin, 2n plus 1, 2n minus 1. And so here is a spin, J primed 2n, J primed 2n plus 1. J primed to n minus 1, and so if I put all the J primes in a big vector, J primed vector, and all the J's in a big vector, maybe it's good to shade these here like this. Then we can define for each shaded square a Boltzmann weighting factor. And the Boltzmann weighting factor is basically made out of these elements. The elementary Boltzmann weight for a square so there are squares which are W2i W 2i plus 1, and so I'm writing one of them, let's say the W2i, and it is it's the identity matrix that just says all the entries of the vector of J's are equal to the entries of the vectors of J primed plus some number sine u over sine lambda minus u. And again, here I have, so now I have the matrix elements of the same object here, J primed J. Written and multiplied by sine lambda minus u sine lambda. where lambda is in general pi over k plus 2, and in the case we're discussing, k is 3, and so therefore k plus 2 is 5. And, yeah? Well, I is even or odd. Oh, sorry. Thanks. 2n. 2n plus 1. So I, you know, is either 2, even or odd. Right? And so the remarkable thing is that this Boltzmann weight for such a plaquette is basically nothing else but this projector that we had just discussed. And so if you want, let me write it out pictorially. So here is my WI. And WI, you know, depends on these variables and these spins, JI, J primed I, JI plus 1, JI minus 1, and it's for each elementary square, there is such a Boltzmann weight, and well, all the other J's are set equal, if you want, J primed M, JM product over M, which are not equal to I, are just the same. Right, so now we have a Boltzmann weight for the system, and the key is, of course, is that these are the same I's, the same EI's. The projectors come in. And so now it's no surprise, presumably, that if we take the Hamiltonian limit of a stat-mech model, then we get precisely this Hamiltonian that I'm just erasing now. So how do we take the Hamiltonian limit of a stat-mech model here? So this, let's say, is the y direction. This is the x direction. And there's this parameter u in there, which physically, in a stat-mech model, amounts to the anisotropy between the y and the x direction. So it can be thought of as being the ratio of the lattice spacings in the two directions. So if I take u to 0, I get a model, I get the Hamiltonian limit. And so let me write the transfer matrix. So the transfer matrix consists out of a product of two transfer matrices. So the transfer matrix is T2, T1, where T2 is just the product over all 2n plus 1, and T1 is the product over all 2n, over all even and all odd. And the whole transfer matrix, where this is now interpreted as a time, first multiplies all the even Boltzmann weights together and then all the odd ones on top. And so the partition function is, of course, just the trace of t to the n, where n is the number of latticides in the y direction. And so, but now in the strongly anisotropic limit, u goes to 0, and we see, obviously, that we get some constant, lambda minus u, sine lambda, to the power of the number of latticides in the x direction, that should be mx, let's say. The identity matrix, plus then, if we linearize the product in u, which is supposed to be small, we pick up exactly the sum of the EI projectors plus terms of order u squared. And this we can write as, you know, a constant e to the minus a times h plus order a squared, where h is the Hamiltonian in question and a is u over sine lambda. The parameter is chosen small to get the Hamiltonian limit. And you see that the Hamiltonian is now, of course, exactly. Yeah, I'm winding. Yeah. So this is basically the end. And so H is minus, which is up to some constants, the identity 1 over tau EI, tau. And so that's why the model I had originally written down is nothing else but a trivializing model. And so, of course, checked numerically, originally was checked, you know, it was calculated a central charge and a spectra and things, and so everything agrees more or less with that prediction. So that's all I want to say. Uh-huh. Yeah, you can gap it by staggering it. So, well, staggering does double the unit cell, right? Yeah, you can gap it in different ways. Yeah. So this is an integrable model, and it has actually an integrable direction. And that gaps the system as well. So that just means, you know, instead of using the Boltzmann weight, which I actually erased, which was basically the identity matrix plus this kind of stuff, with some factors of sine of u, right, where u was a so-called spectral parameter object that was taken to zero when I take this strongly anisotropic limit. If instead of sine functions of u, one uses certain elliptic functions, then so one generalizes this in some way using elliptic functions, that becomes a massive integrable model. And for example, does it? Yeah, I think so. I haven't thought about this. Yeah. You know, you're talking.
You can simple the integral perturbation in the Hamiltonian formulation. If you use particles on the line,
yeah, but the fact that it's integrable, then.
No. What it would correspond to in this language would be not changing the demand that the case is based on the
Well, nearest, more than nearest neighbor, right?
That's.
Yeah,
but this one already.
No, but longer than, one more long. So you can gap it by keeping translation.
Basic thing would be to allow the object to
Yeah, I think it's very similar because the brake matrix is constructed out of the projectors, the temporal elite projectors, right? Maybe that's another way of actually motivating or thinking about the hopping representation. Yeah. It is the brake matrix. No, of course. Yeah, well, I mean... Well, that's presumably, since this is a, so this is a critical point, and the critical point is isolated. So if I do anything, add some perturbation to it. Well, it's a strong perturbation, yeah. But, oh, that goes to the other one, yeah. There's another critical point in this exact solvable model, which is the three state pots model. And it could be, maybe it's that, we have to check, yeah, maybe. So I should mention that actually a couple of years ago, Paul has a paper on a similar model in terms of bosons and a 1D lattice coming from cold atom motivations, I guess. All right.